So as we get started, before I even get to this, I just want to ask some questions about your faith and where you're at in your relationship, what you want from God this morning. Because, I mean, if you had an opportunity to be able to learn some truth, even if it's something that maybe you hadn't heard before, but it's still true, it's something that, you know, it's in God's Word, it's true, it's going to help you and encourage you, would you be willing to receive that? Even if it was kind of, it was hard to, hard to grasp maybe, or if it was something that made you, you know, kind of made you uptight a little bit, you just weren't real sure about it. Sometimes you talk about things of the Holy Spirit, you talk about things of, you know, the supernatural power of God, some of those kind of things, and some people are like, well, that's fine for somebody else, or maybe they're a little leery of it, you know, they've seen abuses, I've seen abuses of that kind of stuff, or maybe, you know, they've heard stories of things that maybe people took things to an extreme or whatever it was. Like I talked about revivals being messy, you know, sometimes people are like critical of things because they've never experienced it for themselves. Would you be willing or interested in hearing that stuff anyway? I guess that's my question. Ask yourself that, because I am. I can learn. I can go places and learn. I figured no matter, this week I told you about pursuing a church till I found one to go to. I mean, I made like 8 phone calls, went to like 3 different buildings before I finally found a place to go to church. I really wanted word. I wanted something. And I knew that no matter where it was, I was going to gather something from that. I was going to get something that was going to benefit. And you can, if you've got some wisdom and discernment, you can strain out stuff if it's not of God. Okay, but I picked up in that Bible study I went to this last Wednesday, and I didn't pick up one thing that was not of God. I mean, this is spot on. I even praised them for that. I said, you guys are, this is a good bunch of Christians right here, because you're following God and pursuing Him, and they were all there joining together in fellowship, and it was basically a church plant, anyway, let's pursue Jesus. Let's pursue Him, okay, and be willing to get into something. This is going to stretch some of you. As we get into talking about the authority that God has given us to walk in, okay, it's going to stretch you. I shared last week one of my favorite books of all time was called Knowing Your Delegated Authority. I got it when I was about 8 months old in the Lord. My pastor had a table in the back of the church that had books for sale on it, or books that you could get. He would give them to you if you didn't have money. And so I just remember looking at this one and flipping through it, and he goes, just take it, brother. And so I took that book, and I remember reading it, and it changed my life, because I understood some of the things that we get to have now and walk in as Christian believers. And I want to share some of that with you this morning. But let's start with prayer. Father, we are yielding our hearts and our minds to You this morning because we want to learn, we want to grow, we want to develop as a believer. We want to have a faith that is above our own willpower. We want to have a faith that takes us through those times. We want to have a faith that helps us to walk in victory, to walk in a victorious life over sin, over the flesh, over the devil. Father, that gives us an in with You and a faith that takes us further than we could have ever gone on our own. Father, I pray this morning as we yield to You and Your Holy Spirit that You minister unto us, speak to us in our hearts, help us to see it, to grasp Your truth, and to be able to live in it then and walk out this door a little bit different than we came in. Father, we're praising You for it. In Jesus' name, we say amen. So if you study the life of Jesus, that's what we've been doing, right? This is a series on being like Jesus. Okay, how would Jesus handle things? How did He handle it? So then we can see that, and then if we desire to be like that. Well, if you study the life of Jesus for very long, it becomes quite apparent that He walked in the supernatural. Okay, He walked in a miraculous power. Yes? Did Jesus have miraculous power? Okay, let's start with that. Jesus did things like turning water into wine. I've not been able to do that myself. Okay, I've heard you can add some ingredients and grapes and whatever, but it would take me a lot longer than having somebody pour water into pots and it turns into wine, right? Okay, Jesus turned water into wine. He told Peter at one point to go fishing, and the first fish that he caught would have enough money in its mouth to pay their taxes. Okay, that's a supernatural, a miracle. Okay, He did things like speaking to a fig tree. At one point, He goes up to a fig tree that should have had figs on it. It was in bloom or whatever. It looked like They should be able to go and gather figs from it. He gets up to the tree and it does not. And he spoke a word to that tree and it withered up and died right there. Okay. By the time the next time they saw that tree, it was completely withered up and died. That's a miracle. It's supernatural. Jesus spoke words of wisdom, telling the disciples where they would find a donkey's colt tied up in the city up ahead of them, and said, go on up there, you'll find the donkey here. Told him all these things that he had no way of knowing aside from supernatural. He gave a word of knowledge to a Samaritan woman at the well. Okay, he told her things about her life that he had no possible way to know all these things about her aside from a divine revelation. Okay, that is, again, walking in something beyond human ability. He healed countless people. Okay, we know that. I mean, multitudes came to him for healing, and he healed them all, the Bible says. We know that he rose people from the dead. Lazarus and the widow's son and others were raised from the dead by the power of Jesus Christ, by God's power working in and through him. And directly related to what we're talking about today, Jesus walked with an authority and he confronted demonic evil spirits head on. He would cast them out of people so that they could be free from their tormenting control. Did he do that? Okay, is that in the Bible? Is that part of what Jesus did? Yes. Okay, there are, if you study out the things of Jesus, you find out that about a third of his ministry was teaching, okay, telling people stuff, helping them to grow. About a third of his ministry was healing. That's just what he did. He was known for it. People flocked to him. He would heal them. And a third of his ministry was casting out demons. It was delivering people, setting them free from whatever it was, whatever spiritual force that had them bound so that they could be free to worship him. So it makes sense if we're going to be like Jesus. Okay, that some of these, at least some of these holy, supernatural, Holy Spirit kinds of things should be happening in our lives. Okay, one of the disciples, his name was Nathanael. He was amazed when he first met Jesus. Okay, in his first encounter with Jesus, he was just dumbfounded because Jesus knew him without them having ever met. Okay, and he was kind of like, How did you know me? And he was kind of questioning that. Jesus' response to him when he was amazed at that, Jesus' response, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, simply because I saw you under the fig tree, you believe in me? Stick with me, buddy, and you're going to see greater things than these. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing that, but that was his conversation was, you're amazed because I know something that I have no way of knowing. Stick with me and you're going to see even greater things than that. You're going to see some pretty powerful things. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, is that you and me? Okay, if we believe on him, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Okay, he was referencing later on, he was going to go to heaven and send the Holy Spirit to be with us, to empower us. So he said, even greater things than I'm doing, you're going to do in the near future. And in verse 13, he goes on. This should be a foundational scripture for every Christian believer. He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified through the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, that is Jesus' word to the believer. He that believeth on me, I believe on Jesus, this word is to you and me. Anything we ask in his name, I ask, how often do you hear in a Christian evangelical church, I pray in the name of Jesus. And then they say their prayer. They make their request known. This is what we're doing. It doesn't have to be said exactly like that. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're praying in all that He stood for, all that He was. You're praying in the name of Jesus. Okay, well, I think that there is sort of a dividing line here for the Christian believers. Okay, this is where you find out who is just saying, I want to be more like Jesus, and who is actually to willingly be like Jesus. How did Jesus live His life? What did He do? What did He say? How did He minister? How did He live? Okay, if I'm saying I want to be like Jesus, I should be like that. I should want those things and desire them. Would you be willing to heed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and speak a word of knowledge to one of your coworkers? Jesus did. If I want to be like Jesus, I may give a word to somebody in my circle. Okay? Jesus gave a word to people that weren't even in a circle. So we may do that. Since Jesus healed people, would you be willing to lay hands on someone and pray a prayer of faith and see them healed of a disease that they've had for 12 years? Would you be willing to lay hands on some guy or speak a word to some guy sitting out in front of the church asking for money whose legs hadn't worked since he was born and have him stand up, leaping, praising God and come into the church with you to worship with us? Would you be willing to do those kinds of things? Jesus was. Peter was. Jesus went to that, remember the pool, and there's a guy laying by the pool and he hadn't walked in 40 years, whatever it was. And Jesus heals him right then and there. And that guy picks up his bed and off he goes. You know, I shared a little bit last week about a friend of mine that had gotten hit in the eye with a basketball. They thought he detached his retina. His eye was swollen shut and bloodshot. He couldn't see out of it. I asked if we could lay hands on him up there on the top of a mountain. He said, there's a lake over here. Let's go get some mud. Let's smear the mud on my eye. This is a young Christian, immature believer, but he believed if we did what Jesus did, he would be healed. Amen. And he was. We smeared the mud, did it just like Jesus said. And by the time he got down the mountain, his eye was completely restored. He will never forget that, and neither will I. It was miraculous. Okay, I shared a little bit about the Shekinah glory of God, the manifested presence of God, and being in these experiences where you literally knew the Lord was in the room with you. I mean, it wasn't like He's just inside of me. I'm like a physical goosebump, hair-raising experience with Jesus. Okay, having those kinds of moments. Okay, now it's not just something that I think is good for other people. Okay, it's not just something that I think is, you know, it'd be good if I could experience that in the future sometime. This is stuff that for me, to a certain extent it is, and I want more. I've seen a lot, but I want more. Okay, I want it to be a way of life. I want it to be the way I live. I don't want to walk past that person in a wheelchair anymore. I don't. I want to be able to help them. Why do they have to stay in that chair their whole life? Or why does somebody have to be tormented with spirits when Jesus so clearly made sure that people didn't have to suffer that way? Especially if somebody brought them to Jesus, okay? There's a big key there. I want in my life what God wants. And I believe that God wants for His Son, for Him to be glorified through the power of His Son working through your life. I believe that. That if I can walk in this stuff like Jesus did, as much and more of that, that God is glorified because I'm doing it in the name of Jesus, because I believe on the Son, and guess who's getting the glory? That's what Jesus said. These things have been done so that my Father may get glorified. He wants to do this in and through your life. Now, when the Apostle Paul was writing part of the New Testament. He's writing to the Christians in Corinth. He reminds them of this. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with just enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Okay, now, what is the power of God that he's referring to? Okay, what is the power? Okay, well, in the Greek, there's a couple of different words that are often used for that term power. It's dynamis, okay, and exousia. Okay, best, you can correct me later. I call it exousia. Okay, that first word is dynamis, okay, which means the ability to perform an activity. The ability to perform an activity. It refers, or it could also refer to someone in a position of power. Okay, or the force of a person's actions. Okay, basically three definitions in that one word. Okay, it can be the ability to perform an activity, someone in a position of power, or the force of a person's actions. Dynamis is where we get our English word for dynamite, right? So think of dynamite. It goes boom and things move, right? Dynamite is explosive. It's powerful. It is earth-shaking, right? It is going to change its surroundings. That is what dynamis power is about. Okay, now quite often in the scriptures that we see where the New Testament authors, they link Jesus' power, his dynamis, with his authority, which is exousia. It's another Greek word for power. Okay, he said, I'm jumping ahead. Exousia is another Greek word for power. Both of these, exousia and, are you following me a little bit? Exousia and dynamis are what Jesus gave to us when he said, "Behold, I have given you power," that's exousia, or authority, "to trample upon serpents and scorpions. I have given you physical and mental strength and ability over all the power," or the dynamis, the position of power, "of the enemy." He gave us both of that, the authority and the position over the enemy. Does that make sense? He wanted to make sure that we had both. Okay, and in one verse, Jesus says, "This is what I give you." Let's read it. It is in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 18. Jesus says to them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power," okay, "authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power," that position of power, "of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, Jesus not only gave us a supernatural strength, something that is superior to the devil's, but he also then authorized us to use it for our benefit and for the glory of God. Okay, use it for our benefit. But when we benefit, guess who gets the glory? God is glorified when good things are going on in your life. Okay, he can be glorified in all things, but we definitely see it in that. You have the power of God inside of you. You have both the exousia, the authority, and the dynamis, the power, inside of you right now. Okay, you have this dynamite, this explosive, earth-shaking, life-changing power on the inside of you. Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." Okay, he gave it to you. He gave it to you, but then he also gave you that exousia. So he also gave you the authority to use it. Go ahead, do this in my name. Use my power in my name. Now, I've seen many times over the years when people have come to me maybe with some sort of a major problem, something going on in their life. They're struggling with an addiction. Okay, maybe they're struggling with, you know, they're overwhelmed with kind of guilt. maybe fear, okay, maybe anxiety, okay, they're struggling with something that is a pretty major thing in their life, and they come to me and I say, let's address the demonic spirit behind this and cast it out. Let's deal with it like Jesus would have dealt with it. I'm going to show you examples. Let's deal with it in that way. And they look at me and they say, well, I don't know. Maybe I was just hoping we could, like, you could counsel me a little bit or something. Because something rises up that they're afraid that to, number one, admit that maybe they have a spirit that's attached to their life somehow, or that there is something that is hindering them that they can't see. Okay, they want to be able to put their mind around it. Okay, that takes faith out of the picture. Okay, so they struggle with it. Now, I'm not negating the benefits of counseling. Don't take me wrong. Counseling is my background. My first job out of college, I was a counselor. That's what I did. Okay, I know a lot about that stuff. I just came from this training in Douglas. The entire at least two and a half days of it was all on helping people work through after a major trauma in their life. I mean, whatever that trauma is to them. We looked at the Oklahoma City bombing. That was a trauma. And we dealt with first responders that left Oklahoma City bombing. Okay, we worked process. How would we work with this person? We watched videos on it. We did all these things. It was heart-wrenching at some times, some of the things that we were talking about having to deal with. I believe in that. You can help somebody process things through their life. I believe that. In especially godly counseling, where you're pointing them to scriptures and the power of God to be able to help them through this, giving them some hope, okay, some things to be able to process, some end result things that here's where we're headed. You can help somebody through that kind of counseling. I'm not negating that one tiny bit. But the thing is, I don't see in the scriptures where Jesus is counseling demons to come out. Will you please, pretty please, stop bothering this person? He didn't do that. If you look at how Jesus dealt with, I'm not saying everything is a demon either, don't get me wrong. There's a lot that is. I'm going to name them. I'm going to tell you what some of the spirits are. There are some things that simply could not be addressed in having a conversation with somebody. Jesus literally spoke to the demon, not to the person, but spoke to that spirit and said, come out of this man. Okay? Jesus, in the scriptures, we see him using the authority, that exousia, that God gave him to truly make a dramatic difference in someone's life. Okay, the Jesus couldn't give us something that he didn't already have either. Okay, he already had this. He was known for walking with this divine authority that I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 says, it came to pass that after Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, for he taught them as one having exousia and not as the scribes. Okay, he taught them as he had something special in this power. The faithless religious people questioned Jesus about where his exousia or where his authority came from. Where did you get this authority? They're questioning him. Okay, that is a lost person's mentality. They can't comprehend where this authority to do what you do comes from. And so they're questioning that. You and I know where it came from for Jesus. It came from the same place that we get our exousia. Okay? It came from God. It's part of the package. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you from the dead. Think about that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, did he walk out of the tomb? He did. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that will raise you from the dead. There is no difference. The same power, it resides in you. That is God's Spirit within you. That's the same authority, the same strength that was in Jesus while he was on the earth now resides in you. Okay, somebody get excited. This makes me excited. Okay, because it means some of the stuff we don't have to put up with, just like Jesus didn't put up with some stuff. I'll give you an example. Let's read a couple more verses. Luke 4:33. In the synagogue, everybody get that part? In the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And it cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, the spirit, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and they spoke among themselves, saying, "What word is this? For with authority," or exousia, "and power," dynamis, "he commands even the unclean spirits, and they come out." They were amazed at that. Now, how many of you, hearing a message like this, it kind of makes you a little bit nervous? You don't have to raise your hand, because you're too nervous to raise your hand. It's like my hand will be shaking, okay? You mean that the same power that was in Jesus is in me? And he wants me to use it like he used it? That's pretty scary to some people. Not when you realize God up here, devil down here, great big God, little tiny devil. Okay, put it in perspective and it's not so scary. God gave you an authority so you can conquer the devil. Okay, to keep him under your feet. Hey, the answer is yes. That power lives in you and God wants you to use it for his glory. Jesus empowered more than just the original 12 disciples. Okay, that was taught. It was just the original 12. He sends out those 12 with the authority, the exousia, to heal and to cast out demons. Then he authorizes another 70 and he sends them out. And then he speaks to all believers and authorizes us as well. So when those 70 that he sent out returned after a few days, they were amazed at the power that they now had over the enemy by using the name of Jesus. Okay, in Luke 10:17, it says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through your name." They got to experience it and to see it for the truth that it was. Jesus said, "I give you this power, go use it." They did, they came back and said, "Lord, this is pretty good stuff." Matthew 10:1 says that when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. In Matthew 10:7 it says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." In other words, I'm giving you this as a free gift, so go and give it to somebody else. Not costing you a penny. Okay, go and share what he gave us. Walking in authority is not something that we need to be afraid of. Okay, it is a tool that God has given you to walk in victory over the flesh and over the devil. Okay, so that you can live in a victorious life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," dynamis power, "and of love and of a sound mind." Now, the devil will try to lie to you. He will try to intimidate you, to tell you this isn't true. He will pick on you. He will try to make your life miserable until you finally get tired of it and you say, Enough is enough. I know my authority. I know the power that's been given to me. Freely it was given to me. Freely I'm going to put it in play, and I'm going to put you under my feet. Okay, when you put him in his rightful place under your feet, or you could say behind you, you're living like Jesus lived. Isn't that what our Lord Jesus did? He saw a demonic spirit speaking through his friend Peter. And he turns to the spirit and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you savorest not the things of God, but the things of man." In other words, you're coming at me from a wrong spirit. And he just spoke to the spirit and addressed it. Okay, the New Testament talks about many of the spirits that can be tormenting you or tormenting someone that you love. Okay, we already read one. The Bible talks about an unclean spirit, okay, or a spirit of an unclean devil. Okay, in Luke 4:33, we read that. It said, "In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil." Okay, an unclean spirit refers to a demon who oppresses humans in opposition to God's will. Simply tries to hold them back from the will of God. That's an unclean spirit. It is not holy, in other words. It is not pure. It is not of God. It is something refraining someone from fulfilling the purpose and plan of God for their life. That's an unclean spirit that was in the synagogue. Jesus cast that spirit out of the man in the synagogue so that he could be free to worship God. The Bible talks about a spirit of infirmity. Luke 13:10. Again, it says Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. First off, did you notice where these people were? They were in the synagogue. Okay, these weren't lost people that were possessed by demons. Okay, these were believers in the church that were tormented by a demonic spirit. It's a real thing. It happens. It's there. That word infirmity literally means sickness or weakness. How many Christians today are plagued by sickness in their body or by a weakness in their flesh that keeps them bound up? The Apostle Paul, we have an example in the scriptures of him casting out a, quote, spirit of divination from a young girl that was following them along, and she was mockingly saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God," and she was mocking them all day long. And eventually Paul says, "Enough." And he stops and he addressed the spirit and said, "Come out of her." And it left her that same hour, the Bible says. Okay, well, that spirit of divination literally is defined as a spirit that speaks through someone. That's a spirit of divination. It is a spirit that speaks through someone. Okay? Remember Jesus addressed Peter, okay, what was coming through him, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." He's addressing a spirit of divination, or he literally named Satan as the guy, okay, but he's addressing a spirit that was speaking through Peter. How many times has someone spoken something hurtful, hateful, vengeful, okay, that may have even been a truth, like what that girl was saying to the disciples? She was saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God." That was true, but she was saying it out of a wrong spirit. Okay, she was saying it out of that mocking, that rebellious spirit. Paul wanted to be like Jesus. So he spoke to the spirit and he told it to come out of the girl, and it did. The Bible talks about a spirit of bondage. Okay, just for time's sake, I'm not going to look them all up. It talks about a spirit of slumber. Okay, it's laziness combined with rebellion. It talks about a spirit of the world. Okay, you know who the god of this world is, right? Talks about a spirit of fear. Talks about a spirit of error. You ever met somebody that's always making wrong choices? No matter what, they just keep making dumb mistakes, dumb choices, one after another after another. Okay, they're confused about things. They're deceived about things. Okay, it's a spirit of error. Okay, they're caught up in that. They don't realize they're being influenced by it on a regular basis. Probably don't believe in spiritual warfare. Bible talks about a spirit of Antichrist. Okay, that one's pretty easy. Anything that's against God, pulling you in the wrong direction. If we truly want to be like Jesus, we need to be willing to address some of these spirits in the same manner. The same way that Jesus addressed them. The same way that he taught the disciples to do it. The same way that we see the examples of the disciples doing the same thing. Jesus said that when he departed the earth, that he would send unto us his Holy Spirit of power. He said, wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now this whole series that we've been going through the last 12 weeks, 13 weeks, has all been about encouraging you to be like Jesus. Okay, I truly hope and I pray that it has made a positive impact on your walk with God. That you truly see that Jesus is, he's more than just an example. Okay, he's a great example. We want to see that. We've been going through the examples. How did Jesus do things? Not just so that we can say, wow, Jesus was great. But so that we can say, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to live like he lived while he was on earth. He came to set the perfect example. That's what this whole thing has been about. I want to be like him because he was the perfect example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul got it. Paul was his speaking to spirits. Paul was healing people. Paul was giving words of knowledge. Paul was living in the power of the Holy Spirit because he saw his master do it. He saw his Lord do it. Paul was known for praying because he saw his master do it. Okay, Paul was seeking and pursuing the things of God because he saw his master do it. Okay, our goal should be that we not just marvel at who Jesus is, okay, but that we learn his ways. We seek and we desire to be like him in every way, every area of our life. I pray that you will live your life with a renewed passion to be like Jesus. Amen. Father, we are humbled before you, Father, at your glory. Father, let it shine so bright in our lives that we cannot deny it. Let it be something that goes beyond human comprehension to something that we grab hold of with our spirit, that we truly understand who you are and what you've done, that we walk in this authority, that we walk as in living a life of prayer, that we walk as a man or woman that loves to worship and to spend time in your presence. Father, I pray that we have compassion, that we walk in love, that we do all these things that we see you doing. Take us beyond ourselves, that we let go of that which holds us back. Father, even to the point of addressing some of those spiritual matters, the spirits of error, fear, anxiety, rebellion, that we speak to them and tell them to get out of our life using your authority, your name, all that you gave to us to be able to walk in this authority, to walk in the power, that we may let that light then that is in us shine so bright that people will see the good things that we do and they will give the glory to you and to our Father. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We worship and adore you. You are a master above all. You are a king above all kings. You are a Lord of all lords. We yield ourselves in full submission unto you, Lord. Have your way this week. Encourage us. Help us to see things for what they truly are, to see beyond the natural, to see into the supernatural, to see into the spirit. Father, we praise you, we exalt you, and we worship you. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.